You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Could not be more pleased to have back on the Rich Eisen podcast, Matt Damon. Are you one of those Patriot fans that takes glee in the Jets and the butt fumbling?
I made the Liberace movie this year, so that's fine. There's some butt fumbling in that movie, too.
Just a wee little bit. Larry David, good to see you, sir.
I think a lot of writers can be offensive coordinators. What's harder? If I could write stories, why wouldn't I be able to draw up a play?
He is none other than Broadway Joe Namath.
If Mark were to get the nod, and if he played decently, if, what a big word with only two letters, huh?
Bobby Cannavale. I told you my Derek Jeter story. At Yankees, Atlanta, the World Series. Screaming, screaming, screaming. Nothing, nothing, nothing. He doesn't even look at me. Finally, last at bat, eighth inning. Yeah. Jeter comes up. Derek! Just turn around, man! Just turn around! Finally, he like, dumb, he does the thing with the weight. He's about to go up. He turns around. He looks at me. He goes, bro, I hear you.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us. I'm Richard Eisen.
I don't download many podcasts, but when I do, I prefer the Rich Eisen podcast. Here's your host, Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. It's a new edition of the Rich Eisen podcast. As promised, it is edition number two of the bye week in between Championship Sunday and the Pro Bowl and Senior Bowl and Super Bowl week. Chris Law and Chris Brockman are also, as always, at their posts. Good to speak with you, gentlemen.
How you doing, buddy?
Rich, good to speak with you. Good to see you.
We have a special guest on the show this week. Joel McHale.
Oh, nice.
Is back on the podcast. I think we had him. When did we have him?
He was on the Thanksgiving special of Ought 12.
Of Ought 12. So last year's Thanksgiving.
Last year's Thanksgiving.
Ought 13, actually, because we're in 2014.
Well, yeah. That's true. No, 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah. Ought 12.
He was on our Thanksgiving. So it's incredible. I've lost track of the number of specials that we've put together. That's quite something. So anyway, Joel McHale's in studio.
And you did the soup recently.
I did, yeah. I mean, when I did the soup back in October, I did it the day I flew to Arizona for the Seattle-Arizona game, the one where the 12th man invaded Arizona. And so I did the soup that day, and he's like, I'll come back on. And, you know, we've been trying to get it done. He does Communities in almost every scene of Community.
And they have a weird filming.
Yeah.
Weird filming schedule.
It's crazy. So to get him free of the soup and Community is not easy. But I guess it's also easy to talk about your Seattle Seahawks when they're in the Super Bowl. So that's what he's going to do.
He's coming in studio, right?
Yeah, he is.
Perfect.
He is coming in studio. So that's the sole guest. Now, I don't know if we're going to, I don't think I'm prepared to make a Super Bowl prediction.
You're not.
Show. I'm not prepared.
What do you mean you're not?
I'm not prepared. You can't make a Super Bowl prediction until you see the team show up in the Super Bowl city and you hear them and you see them and you look at them and you kick the tires.
Yeah, but you don't think they're going to look and appear the same as they did when we saw them on Sunday in victory?
No, you never know how a team's going to handle a Super Bowl week. You never know. You never know what they're going to say. You never know who's going to get hurt. You never know anything of that nature.
What Rich is saying is we don't have our guests fully booked yet for the Rich Eisen Super Bowl
well,
special.
We don't have that.
So
no.
we don't want to push anything out.
Yeah. All right.
You know what? That's another consideration, but I'm not going to sit here and make a pick and then have
Rich
somebody
doesn't
throw
want
it in my face.
But, right. You don't want it to be bulletin board material,
no,
though.
What we talk about all week is we want to hear how loose the team sounds. We want to see how they handle the practices and the media and what happens in practices. This is all useful information. You can't just make a pick a week away.
Sounds like somebody who's scared, even though he's won so many games this postseason in Week 17, to get back into the picks. And even I did him a favor by picking opposite of him last week to give him a chance to get back in.
Wait. Brockman's trying to claim he picked opposite of you last week, not what he really thought was going to happen.
That's an outrage. Look, that is what I thought was going to happen, and I was wrong. But
that's an outrage.
I just hear nothing but excuses.
Well, look, I'm in third place, and you know, as the fine folks at No Fear say, second place is first loser. So I'll take my third place, and I'll just go home.
I am, without a doubt, not afraid, and am a veteran of Super Bowl week. This is my 11th one.
11.
Okay. This is my 11th one. I have seen it all, pretty much. And I am fully aware that you need to go through a Super Bowl week in order to kick the tires. I mean, otherwise, I mean, when we talk Media Day, when we're at Media Day next Tuesday at the Prudential Center in downtown Newark, I mean, that's all we're going to be talking about is how are these guys handling the press? How are they handling the media? Do they look like they're having fun? Do they look like they're taking it too lightly? Do they look like they're taking it too seriously? That's all we do is kicking these tires. I can't imagine you'd think that I'm afraid, Brock. And you did not pick opposite of me to give me a chance. You really felt this was going to be a 49er-Patriots Super Bowl.
I feel like we need stakes here, don't we, on this?
Like Omaha stakes?
No. Like something. I think we need to come up with something by the end of the show.
Here's the thing. I think I know who Rich is taking, and I know who I'm taking, so it is going to come down to this game. I don't think we're taking the same team.
But he might think that you think he's thinking one team and go the opposite.
No,
this could be interesting.
He's not going to outsmart himself. Rich is savvy enough to pick the team that he thinks is going to win.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know who that team is because I believe Seattle has the better defense. I believe Seattle has a better running game. I think Denver has the better passing game. I think Denver and Seattle are dead even special teams. I just need to see next week play out before I make my pick. That's all. And I'll tweet it out. I'll tweet it out to what could be 700,000 followers by the time the game rolls around.
Hey-o.
You know, when we started this, Rich,
I'm
I think
just
you're at about 230,000 when we started the podcast.
Are you sure?
It's a podcast bump.
Well, listen, look at the podcast bump. We've won Academy Awards for people. We've won Emmys for people.
Yeah. I just listened back to that Coach Bill Courtney interview, by the way.
We're difference makers.
And that's still one of my favorite.
Yeah, the
Manassas Tigers.
Undefeated.
Was an incredible documentary, and having him and Law, you were twisting my arm about that for weeks.
I know, yeah, you were saying what, and then when you watched the film after I gave it to you, you were like, I'm in. That, it was so good.
So are you guys surprised that Richard Sherman is still a topic of discussion on TV shows and radio shows? And I can't believe that this thing is still being discussed.
This is what we do.
It's Thursday. I don't know. Bieber is kind of stealing some of his headlines.
Bieber is stealing headlines.
Yeah, I think Bieber's stealing headlines.
Yeah, we're taping this on a Thursday. It's posting early Friday.
Yeah.
And so Bieber was arrested Thursday morning in Miami, and I think that's kind of...
I'm rooting for Gitmo.
Cut into the Richard Sherman news. To send Bieber to Gitmo?
Yes. This is the worst thing that's infiltrated the United States since I'm on season 3 of Homeland, and the guy came down from Canada right now. It's bad.
I love it. Wait till you see the rest of it. I think you'll be equally as disappointed as I was.
That's what I keep hearing.
Oh, I guess I'm glad I never got into that.
But I'm not surprised at all. And if you heard Richard Sherman's press conference on Wednesday, he spoke, you know, very eloquently. He even drew comparison to, you know, he's been fighting the label of thug his entire life as a kid that grew up in Compton. And he mentioned, you know, Watts and Compton, and then a guy that goes to Stanford. It's an oxymoron. And then he said, I flipped on the television the other day, and there was a hockey game that started, and there wasn't even any hockey played. It was just fighting, which I think, you know, we all saw it was the Maple Leafs and the Flames, I want to say.
Flames Canucks.
And he said, you know, you don't see a thug label going out to anyone there whenever it's just punches being thrown and it's not even sport. And I was a little animated at the end of a game, and here I am being labeled this. You know, I don't think it's fair, and I think he's 100% correct.
Yeah, you know, the poor sportsmanship was the only issue I had.
Yeah.
You know, because it doesn't matter what Crabtree and him were going through. and, you know, he did make the play to end the game, but he's not in a position to make the play to end the game if Marshawn Lynch doesn't run for the 100 yards or Doug Baldwin doesn't get the 200 all-purpose yards. And, you know, that's the only issue I had with it, and needing to explain that to, you know, kids who need to understand that. That's my only issue. I didn't have any problems with any other part of any of that. And now, I mean, if he doesn't care the way he's viewed, that's one thing. But everyone, you know, the whole entire week has been spent of just, you know, everybody understanding who he really is and what his background really is and how those ranting 29 seconds are run completely counter to exactly who he is and what he's come from and his stock, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you take a look at the people who have tweeted on his behalf in the past 72 hours, ranges from Sean Payton on Wednesday night tweeted out what a great season he had and he should keep soldiering on. And on Monday or Tuesday, Hank Aaron tweeted at
Richard Sherman. I did see that.
Saw that as well.
Hank Aaron has tweeted 8 times. The last time he tweeted was last October, and it was to retweet Bill Clinton talking about how the president was excited to have met him. He hadn't done anything since October, and he tweeted at Richard Sherman. And I retweeted that because I thought that was absurdly cool. I mean, that was so cool. And I got tons of tweets back saying, you know, so you think it's cool to have somebody display such poor sportsmanship on the air and you back up somebody who raves like a lunatic. And, you know, that's where Twitter doesn't have the nuance, right? And the issue is that Hank Aaron was tweeting at Richard Sherman to say that he's playing great and he should move forward and keep his head held up high, not because he supports the sportsmanship angle. It's what came Richard Sherman's way after the interview on Twitter, as there was a Deadspin entry about it too, about the tidal wave of racist comments that were sent in Richard Sherman's direction. It's just the ugliest of the ugliest comments. That no matter whether you thought he was right to pound his chest after the game and make a 30-second interview about himself, or you thought he was that he was way out of bounds, nobody deserves what was sent Richard Sherman's way.
No,
in that regard,
not.
And it's disgusting, and it's horrible, and for him to be called a thug, is absurd. What was thuggish about what he did?
Yeah,
he even pointed out, I think Richard Sherman said at his press conference Wednesday, he hasn't done anything violent off the field. He hasn't been arrested for anything.
Right.
He's not that guy. He is an African American guy with dreads who was screaming like a lunatic at the end of a game in front of a whole new audience that probably had never even heard of Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick coming into the game, let alone who Richard Sherman was or is or knows that he's a Stanford graduate and et cetera, et cetera.
But yeah, it comes back to what we said earlier in the week. You get a guy 60 seconds after the game's over, his adrenaline is still obviously pumping.
Yes.
And you ask him, hey, what happened? And, you know, he's got a little beef with Crabtree. Who doesn't? And
You have a beef with Crabtree.
Who doesn't?
I was trying to slip that in there in case you guys don't
know. Nice. But I can't wait till Crabtree comes back on and you have the opportunity to ask him if he wants to look at Richard Sherman's ring.
I'm not going to stand down, Rich. But anyway, I thought it was kind of funny, like I said before, as it happened. And then the reaction to it has just been mind-blowing for me.
We have an email group, a chain of friends that this kind of subject came up with. You know, the Deadspin article and responses, and obviously some of the stuff that came out was awful, but somebody brought up the comparison of Johnny Manziel and the venom he gets also. And is it a race thing, or is it because of the cockiness and the brash? Obviously people took it to a race thing with the comments they made, but is some of the initial reaction just the overconfidence and cockiness that came out of him? And Johnny Manziel turns off a lot of people with his, you know, his money fingers and stuff that he does, and a lack of sportsmanship. And that's probably the closest parallel to it. But it is sad when, you know, you click on any celebrity or somewhat famous person's Twitter feed or their tweets and you see some of the at replies that, that those people have to deal with. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. It is incredible how it still has legs, though.
Yeah.
And he's gained, what, 500,000 Twitter followers?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's only going to ramp up here. We're not even in New York yet.
Holy, you know, and anybody smokes. Who says, I've already heard some pundits in our business saying that the league is going to try and muzzle him. That's absurd. That is positively absurd. Because try to muzzle him. He is going to be made available every single media availability, which is, I believe, every day up until Friday of Super Bowl week. They're Seattle. Both teams are arriving Sunday, correct? They're both arriving into New York on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Of this coming weekend, and usually there's a media availability as soon as they step off the plane and get to their team hotel. And there's no way that Richard Sherman is going to be sat unless one of those availabilities on maybe Monday or Wednesday or Thursday, he won't be made available. Maybe. But certainly he's going to be on a podium. If the league wanted to muzzle him, they'd stick him up in the stands. He'll be at a podium.
He's been speaking this week. They haven't been hiding it from anything.
It's absurd. I honestly heard that from a very well-respected source that the league will try to muzzle him.
Well, he's still tweeting and retweeting people, so certainly
good
that,
for him.
Like
good,
that form hasn't
good
been shut
for
down.
Him. Let him pound his chest and say he's the best in the game. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that at all. Let him say that the LOB this, LOB that. That's great. But to say, you know, I beasted this guy, and I'll shut your mouth for you. You know, when you're the one going to the Super Bowl, the other guy isn't. That's it. I mean,
that's mouth shutting enough.
Yeah, scoreboard.
Right.
Look at the scoreboard. I'm going to the Super Bowl. You're not. That's all. And you know, I've never met him. I look forward to a chance to meet him next week. I really do. You know, and all this oxygen, like I said, is not pointing the direction of what a 100-yard performance Marshawn Lynch had. He was incredible.
He was.
Against that defense, he ran for 100 yards, and he busted one in from 40 yards out to tie the game in the second half after they stopped. The defense stopped Colin Kaepernick to start the first half. They scored a touchdown. It's sort of a reversal. Even bettered what happened to start the game when Russell Wilson turned it over, leading to 3 points. They got the ball to start the game, got no points. The opposition got 3.
Yeah.
To start the second half, the opposition got no points. They got 7. It was a huge touchdown, monster touchdown. Doug Baldwin, what he did for over 100 yards receiving and almost 100 yards all-purpose in returns was monstrous. Gave him good field position, got something going in a passing game that had been dormant essentially since maybe when they beat the Saints in the regular season. What a great, huge performance that was.
Yep.
Defensively, everybody else was lighting it up. And everyone's talking about Richard Sherman. And he even said that he regretted that. So I'm looking forward to closing, you know, turning the page and moving on. But I don't know how that's going to happen next week. You know,
somebody's going to do something.
What I like too is, you know, Russell Wilson was asked about it being a distraction, and I think it would have been if Russell was a smoke and mirrors guy, but he's not. Like, he puts in the time, he studies film, he's a student of the game, and I think his teammates know that and respect that about him. He talks the talk, but he also, you know, he walks the walk and he puts in the time.
You know, I love talking about this, and it is incredible that nobody's talking about Peyton Manning the week before the Super Bowl thus far. That'll get fixed next week. Shouldn't Joel McHale have been here by now?
Yeah.
What time is it?
We got a little he's in a little bit of a traffic snafu from what I'm hearing.
A traffic snafu.
Yeah.
Oh, that never happens in Los Angeles.
Yesterday the
shock.
405 and 10 were pretty much shut down to single lanes. I think today there's some construction going on.
Well, there's heavy traffic on Venice Boulevard. That's how I come to work each day, and it, depending on what time. I mean, I live 4 miles away, and it'll take me 45 minutes. So should we call him?
Should we?
I think we should, because we're up a little bit against it with studio time today. Let's see if we can get him on.
Well, because everybody's trying to get in one last podcast before the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Right, before everybody heads out to New York.
All right. But maybe we should just get him on the phone. I hope he won't mind just
doing
it on the
phone. Give me a sec. Let me try and get him on, and you guys just keep mixing it up.
All right. All right. Law's going to latex it.
All right.
For a second. So Brockman and I are going to – Joel McHale is going to be on this show.
I'm excited.
Next
like
week,
Joel.
Chris, you are here in Los Angeles, right?
I'm gonna
Law and I are going to be in New York.
In Los Angeles because we have a television
Monster
special
show
coming up.
Yeah, well, you've got two things. You got our TV special next Wednesday night at 10:30 Eastern time when Jim Brockmeyer returns to the program. Jim's, again, still on that comeback trail.
It's been a long trail, Rich.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long comeback trail for Jim. And as always, we're here for him. I mean, he's a legend in the booth. All you got to do is go to funnierdie.com and put in Jim Brockmeyer, B-R-O-C-K-M-I-R-E, and you'll see his awful tale of woe as told by me, Dan Patrick, and one of our guests next week calling the Super Bowl on Fox, Joe Buck, telling the tale of the demise of Jim Brockmeyer's career.
Mighty fall.
But we're always there for him, so we asked Jim, would you like to go do Media Day for us? We'll get you your press pass. You can go and do Media Day. And he said, yeah. So Jim Brockmeyer, the legend of the booth, will be the legend of this year's Media Day. And that'll be are we planning on closing the show with that, right?
Yes, that's going to end the program.
Okay.
And we have other guests, too. Like
we have other guests. Joe Buck. We're hoping Aikman might
Detroit.
Join Joe.
Right.
Yes.
Who else do we have? Do we have anyone else secured?
We're very close to a very important person on the Broncos,
okay.
Within the Broncos organization.
Oh.
That's what I'm going to say.
I wonder who might be on the organization. If you mention organization.
Yeah. He's up the flow chart.
He's
we'll
up
put
the
it that
flow
way.
Chart. Okay, so the Duke might be on the hook here.
Yeah, we're going on a drive for him. That was a bad analogy.
Speaking of which, Cleveland named a new head coach today while we're tap dancing for Joel McHale.
It's not me, Rich. I just want to say I withdrew my name from consideration.
Mike Pettine, the longtime defensive – not longtime, but the defensive coordinator for Rex Ryan's Jets the first, I believe, 4 years of Rex's tenure. This year he moved on to be the defensive coordinator for the Bills. He did a great job there. And now he's going to Ohio. I love how the Browns said their plan was going according to plan. There is no way they were that when they fired Rob Trzynski the night of the end of the season that they were targeting Mike Pettine at that point in time. There's just he might have been on a list.
No way.
I don't know. It could have been a long list, but be that as it may, I think he's a good fit there.
Yeah.
I think the folks, the hard-nosed Ohio football fan, will really enjoy his. He's sort of like got this cower quality to
him. Well, Mike Pettine's dad, Mike Pettine Sr., is a Pennsylvania high school legendary coach, Central Bucks West High School, and won 4 state championships. And he came up coaching under his dad and then went to North Penn, a rival school. So you're right. He's got that cower just like in your face.
He's got that quality about him, and I think Browns fans will enjoy it. But right now they're probably going, what in the world was the last 22 days all about? And, especially since they went down and interviewed Schiano on Wednesday. I don't know what that was for. Maybe they were trying to up their frequent flyer miles on the flight to Florida, but that wasn't working. I guess apparently Belichick called up and said, you should talk to him. And we know Lombardi and Belichick are close from their Browns years. So, all right, we're done.
No more tap dancing. He's on. Yep.
He's on the phone?
Oh, yes,
nice.
He is.
He's on the phone. He's not here?
Not here. We're working on it.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Pleased to have back on the Rich Eisen podcast the supremely talented host of The Soup that could be seen weekly on E-Channel on Wednesday nights and also Community on NBC Thursday nights with also friend of the program, Gillian Jacobs. He is, however, on this show for the first time with his Seattle Seahawks, a freshly minted Super Bowl participant, Joel McHale.
Yeah.
How are you, Joel?
Yeah. I'm terrific, obviously, because the Seahawks are going to the big dance. But I am apologetic because for all of you out there listening, how many listeners do you have?
We have
tens of listeners.
Yeah, for the handful.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
I was supposed to be in studio, and I'm not. I'm in my car. And I'm,
yes.
What a dick I am.
Joel, listen, the phrase in the NFL is, it is what it is, and you can only control what you can control, and you can't control the taillights that you see in front of you due to the, of all things, I believe it's the new rail system that's being put in the Los Angeles area.
Yes, it's ironic that the brand new rail system that's supposed to get people to places faster and more conveniently is making people slow down. I'm still, as a just a way to say I'm still in spirit, I'm still driving towards the studio.
Okay,
you're
matriculating away. If you make it in time, you know, because we have a limited time in the studio. With it being Super Bowl week, there's tons of people trying to claw their way in here. So. But right now we're holding them off.
That's great. I'll be there and I should be. I mean, I'm going 122 miles an hour right now. So
we cannot
Bieber style.
There's a Bieber joke style. Somewhere.
There's a Bieber joke.
Yeah, I've got prescription drugs. I'm drunk. It's hot. All that. Yeah, it's how I like to drive. But that's usually only when I'm racing.
Yeah, of course. Which is what you normally do when you're on Venice Boulevard in Culver City.
At 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a real smart move.
Well, you're a good friend. You're a good friend to even come to down here or in the area or be on the phone. And
I'll give you play by play of where I am at Motor and Culver right now.
Oh God. So you're here. You're pretty much close. All right. So here's what we'll do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk as you pull up into the driveway and then stop down. And then have you come?
I'll just remain on the phone until I walk in.
Okay, we could do that. We could do that. Here's what you do: you pull up to the end of the driveway, and when you do that, you just pull over and just drop your keys like you're dropping the mic somewhere in the area of security, which I believe Chris Law is on the phone with right now to tell them that this is okay for you to do.
Okay, and then, I don't have keys. I stole the car, so it's spotlight.
You have a screwdriver in the.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really dangerous.
Very good, man. This is Marconi winning stuff. So I appreciate you taking the time to do all this. Culver and Venice is right.
He's almost here. Yeah, he's good.
Motor? Probably hear my car coming.
Fantastic. Park at security. Leave the keys. Valet will take care of you. And come
Fantastic.
On.
Fantastic. You are the 12th man, right? We have finally stumbled upon the actual individual who is the 12th man. That's you, correct?
Thank you for saying that. Yes, I painted myself blue last week, and I will not unpaint myself for until we win the Super Bowl. So. That's how much confidence I have.
And if you lose, then you become part of the 12th, the fifth man of the blue man group, correct? The fifth man.
I will remain blue until. Hi, I'm going to the Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen works here, right? Okay. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. Make a left. All right.
Make a left.
Yeah, no.
Wait, what?
That's no good.
I just ran right through the guard shack here.
Fantastic.
I took him literally at his word.
Terrific.
Security knows too. They're going to bring him up.
Fantastic.
There.
Here comes Joel McHale. He is on the. We're doing the play-by-play here of him on the phone.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Acura. you going the wrong way. You guys got some crazy drivers here.
I'll go grab him.
You go grab him, Law. Okay, walk him in.
There's no one here at the guard house.
Here we go. Someone's coming. Someone's coming for you. Law, go.
Very slow walking valet guy. he's got a busy morning. There's a lot of cars here.
Isn't that like every valet guy in L.A., though?
I would agree, yes. This guy's not wearing a red coat, though, so he could just be wandering.
he might steal your stolen car.
That's true. This is good. You may be the original owner.
He's moving very slow.
This is a podcast first. This is outstanding.
We're making history, Rich.
Go ahead.
Let us know when a hillbilly-looking dude with a huge, thick beard comes walking up to you. That's our producer, Chris Law.
You're getting me very excited. Now, switching over to my phone.
Okay.
No longer the Bluetooth.
No, okay. When you're not Bluetooth, then you're closer. I know that.
See you. Here's the keys. Oh, that guy finally caught up. Are you going to just turn it off? Here's the keys. Thanks.
This okay. is fantastic.
We're walking in. So go ahead with the questions, Rich.
Sure, yeah, yeah. So Joe, what do you think of our parking lot and parking situation here at NFL Network?
It sucks shit.
Law's not here to write down the time code.
This is the dumbest parking ever. Because you got the cars there's no way.
No. It is the worst. It is the worst.
Yeah, there's no way. You can't drive. The spaces are way too. The lines are way too close.
Oh,
together.
We're swapping paint here, Joel, just to merely park.
Really?
Parallel
really
parking
dumb.
Is like a NASCAR event here.
It's like Dukes of Hazzard.
Originally, the NFL, did they build this for the NFL Network, or did you take over the building?
We found this space. This space was here, and we have manifest destinied our way through most of the stuff. There you are. There's
that
Joel McHale. See the right. Seahawks hat. Stay on
great.
The phone till here. Law, we're on
guest one.
Guest one. He made this is great.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
All right. We'll turn off the phone.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for doing this, man.
Hello.
This is fantastic.
This has got to win us some type of award, right?
This is
podcasting first.
This is great.
I would say yes. We've annoyed all of your listeners.
Here's the problem. I'm going to unfortunately ask you to leave and now Skype with us.
Okay.
Is that all right?
We'll
good
see
to
you
see
later.
You here. Yep. We'll get you on. Yep. Maybe we'll FaceTime for the rest
That's
of this conversation.
That's fine with me. Let's try use. Who just said? Oh,
that was Chris Law saying
thanks,
we have 20
Chris.
Minutes when we needed. So how are you? How was the drive?
It was awful. I hated it.
He was hands-free, by the way.
Only thing worse.
Yeah.
Okay. Only thing worse was the parking. So.
Okay.
Nice watch.
Thank you. Well, I think you said that to me when I came on for the soup, by the way.
That's probably very true.
You may have said that. Yeah.
You still have the same watch?
I do. I do. Ripped off from
NFL's
the...
NFL's not paying you enough.
Ripped from the same cold, dead wrist of the man who I took it from.
Oh. Who's that?
Oh, God, I don't know these people.
The valet
I just
guy
take
outside.
Their belongings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the valet guy outside. He wasn't moving one day.
He is like a walking corpse. He's on The Walking Dead.
He's on The Walking Dead.
He should drive an ambulance.
Mm-hmm. Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Look at you rocking your Seahawks lid. I like it.
Well, this is the, we're at ground zero for wearing paraphernalia.
This is it.
This is it.
Yeah, I mean...
You should see my underwear. Or my thong.
It's the 12th... those are the 12th boys.
Yeah, I went on Ellen yesterday, and she gave me a Seahawks thong.
Did she really?
Which I put on.
No kidding.
On camera.
That's really next level stuff.
It's career shortening, as I like to say.
Like over the pants? Like, remember that cartoon Doug?
Oh, no, I took my pants off.
Oh, okay, good.
Put it right
That's
on.
That's what you do when you go on Ellen.
Yeah, when you're on Ellen, you can do
I wouldn't
anything.
Know. I've not been
daytime
on
television,
Ellen.
You can pretty much get
do whatever you
anything.
Want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Are you disbelieving that your Seahawks are in? What are your thoughts?
It
on,
is
on your Seahawks
well
being
because when we got in 2006, that was the first time I was kind of like, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. And now that we're back, and now it's kind of like this is the one we're gonna do it.
You think this? You didn't have as much confidence going against the Steelers as you do against Peyton Manning.
I think this team is better. I do think yes. Just the fact now that we're there a second time, I'm like, all right, we're gonna win this one. I think
you got a good feeling about
yes.
it.
Well, I got a good feeling because I am a big fan of the team. But I think the defense is really good.
They're incredible.
And
they're better. Let's put it that way. Their defense is definitely better than Denver's defense. I don't think there's any argument about
right.
that.
Right. And I think everyone keeps talking about, well, if it's really cold, that's going to be hard on Peyton. So, and I think Peyton can throw the ball in any weather he wants.
I agree.
It will be quite a matchup.
That's the narrative that he'd like to stick where the sun doesn't shine, is what he said.
Yeah, I think that guy can operate in pretty much any situation.
That's the issue to me here, right, is how he is going to perform. Because the defense, Seattle's defense is better. You could sit here and say Marshawn Lynch is one of the best playoff running backs we've seen in the 10 years we've been on the air here. And how will Peyton Manning play?
Right.
Can he somehow...
But you, I guess you could ask that question about everything. You'd be like, how's the defense? We know that everyone's going to play well, right. I think. I mean, I feel
See,
like...
You've now cut to the heart of why what I do for a living is complete bullshit.
Right.
Because,
right.
Because we could sit here and say that about any... Well, it really depends upon how
if
that
he plays
left
well,
guard
it's good, yeah.
plays. You
right.
Because if that left guard doesn't protect Peyton Manning... I mean, we could parse...
Right.
Anything we want and try and make it sound like it's the most important thing about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do that for the next 2 weeks to try and tap dance.
Yeah, I feel like it would be the same thing with like, well, you think he'll get nominated for an Oscar? You think Matthew McConaughey? Well, if he's good in that movie, he might.
Let me
and then you go like, oh, well, right. Well, he's good in it. So, well, then, yeah, there's a good chance.
There is a good chance.
He'll be nominated if he's good in the Dallas Buyers Club. Well, then, yeah, so.
We busted Mariucci on our Game Day morning show a couple of weeks ago.
We did.
Where he was basically saying, here's what's going to happen in the Chargers-Bengals game. It's Mike McCoy's first playoff game as a head coach, and Marvin Lewis has never won a playoff game as a head coach. So today, somebody's going to get their first win as head coach.
And, like, that was his bold prediction.
That was his bold prediction.
It
what? And it somehow slipped past all of us in
everybody,
real time.
Nobody noticed it.
And then the next week, we replayed it for him, like, sort of like,
look, you said nothing.
What was that?
You know, like,
what was that?
Look,
someone is going to
red,
win.
That red light turns green when we're at the cross, you know, when we're there at the intersection.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're right there. When that turns green, then you're going to go.
Yes.
That's how simple.
That is exactly what I do for a living.
But we all eat it up. It doesn't matter. You can speculate anything. You
that's
can be
good.
Like, if a, you know, if there's a chance that a leopard will be set free and run around the field, that'll be bad. We'll have to capture the leopard.
Yes.
And it could be a distraction.
Yeah, that's the word, by the way, of Super Bowl week in the media is distraction.
Right.
Because we in the media want to talk about distractions.
Right.
That's all we talk about.
Now, why doesn't the media walk up and just go, am I distracting you?
And just like wave your hands?
I know you should be practicing right now, but I'd like to ask you, does this distract you?
At all?
I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you
I
right
should
now.
Try that at Media Day.
Because
that'd
like,
be great. Am I distracting you? Because that's what we want to talk about. Is something a distraction? And we talk about it enough until it is one.
Yes,
and then wonder if it can be overcome. And I think we do that in the media because we want to be a factor.
Well, you want to be paid, too.
Well, that's true, too.
What if the teams were like, look, we don't want any distractions. And then they were like, so, and then, you know, like all these, you know, ESPN, NFL, all the network, Fox, CBS were like, great, why don't you go ahead? We won't show up. No media days, nothing. We'll just see you. We'll see you on that Sunday.
We
don't worry about it. We'll just let you practice. We don't want to mess with you.
Wow.
That would be truly groundbreaking stuff.
And then it would be, you'd just be like, I wonder what they're doing. What do you think they're up to there right now?
Right.
They're probably running some plays. They're probably
that's what they're doing,
doing
right now.
Doing some jumping jacks,
and
perhaps.
If they do it well, they might win.
You know what? But if
they
get distracted during their non-distract, they'll be distracted by not having distractions.
So if we don't show up.
Right.
Then that would potentially be
distracting,
or
because they're going to be worried what happened to you,
what happened to me,
right?
Or it's initially attractive to them that they don't have to deal with us, and then we just suddenly show up en masse once, all at once
on Sunday,
totally distracting, right?
Yes, they'll be scared. Maybe because they need to ease into the distraction of you guys. So it can't be all at once. It's like pounding a bottle of tequila. You got to build up a tolerance before you're able to do that. I don't know.
You do.
But
you
I watched a report yesterday just speculating. They're like, well, we might have Super Bowl on Monday.
Yeah, no, right?
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, we might because you take a look at the weather and we all know how accurate that is.
Right. Is that a story? Is that
again,
a story in this
like,
Super Bowl, Rich? The
so
weather?
Dumb. It's just
that's
like, well, there's a
be
chance
doing.
The fleet of helicopters from Apocalypse Now might show up.
That's true.
But we're prepared. it's just crazy. That is the one of the big stories, obviously, is boy,
yes, it
could
is.
Be cold weather.
It
oh,
could be
because
it's New York on February the 2nd or
right.
New Jersey in February the 2nd, and usually it can be cold then. Yeah, I know.
These are the sorts of problems that a lot of millionaires have to deal with on the field. All these ads being sold, what are they going to do?
What are they going to do in their 50-yard line seats?
I guarantee, no matter how bad the weather is, that Super Bowl will be played that Sunday because too much is riding.
I think
the earth could be cracking open, and there's no way, with all the money that's been spent, there's no way it's not going to be
They'll just send
played.
Everybody home. We'll see you Monday, everybody.
Yeah, right.
Super Monday.
And we'll wonder how distracting that is to the guys to have to wait another day.
Oh,
right?
A will true this Groundhog be a, Day. You'll
it's a true.
Play it the next day, well, right? That,
actually, it is Groundhog
I
Day,
know,
right?
February 2nd.
February 2nd is Groundhog Day.
Again, no relevance to anything. But, again, a made-up, weird, stupid holiday that nobody cares
that's
about.
That's true.
Other than it made one of the greatest comedies of all time.
Right?
It's worth it for that.
Right.
But
that Peyton Manning's alarm goes off.
Gobbler's
he slaps
knob.
It, right?
And right. Then he takes the hammer. And
right. And yeah. Then lives the day and thinks he's won the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's the greatest thing
Which
ever.
It has not happened.
He goes to sleep. Alarm goes off. It's Super Sunday again.
Needle right.
And he's
got to
play the
head.
Game all the time.
And he gets beat again. That's what you're saying,
so
right?
So it would be by the is that what he just gets beat. Beat. Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
And then
my
when he
bad.
Figures out the whole day, he just gets beat maybe by a touchdown less.
And you
he figures
win
out
every day.
That it's like, oh, he doesn't. No, he.
What would
we win no matter what?
What
even would, if he's like, oh, I just lost anyway.
What would his record be if he had to play the Super Bowl over and over? And
we
over
wouldn't
again.
Know. He's caught in a space-time continuum. Rip.
Whatever 10 and 11 is over and over again.
It's a loop.
Right?
Yeah,
is that what
it's
it
a wormhole.
It is a wormhole.
Are you going to the?
It looks like I am. Yeah.
Are you really going
yeah.
to the game?
Nice.
I have some friends at Xbox that are going to send me.
Well, hopefully the word box is key to the actual experience.
No, it doesn't. I'm bringing a box with me.
Okay. You're bringing your own
my
luxury
own
box.
Pod.
Is that
yes.
right?
It will sit in my seat perfectly.
Very nice.
I'm jerry-rigging it now, and it's pretty flammable.
So are you going outdoors? Like, you know, the commissioner's sitting outdoors. He said he's going to sit outdoors.
Really?
Yes, he is.
With
his official Commissioner Gore-Tex.
Right now, he is employing a lot of scientists that are making pants that will keep him heated.
Special Commissioner pants.
Yes, that they should be doing much more important things. He will be electrified completely.
To be just sitting in his Gore-Tex pants.
Yeah, my guess.
Wow, you're going to be there. That's cool.
You're going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
But you're going to be inside.
I'm there.
You're going to wear this.
I'm there all week distracting people. By
anybody.
The way, this is a great idea, Joel, like to literally distract them with my hands. Like, I'm not touching you.
Is this a distraction?
Just like,
hey, over here.
I might do that to Richard Sherman.
You should.
What do you think? Don't you think that would be good?
I think his hair is distracting enough.
Everything
it's so
was
luxurious.
About, where do you stand on Richard Sherman? Where do you stand on that?
Well, it has been interesting seeing the wave of how, and now there's articles like, he's going to have millions of endorsements.
That's
now.
Right.
It's all working out great.
And that used to take weeks to play out. Now, in the social media world.
A day.
It's it?
Yeah.
We saw the Beats by Dre commercial, right? That
well, he's already,
him,
he already
they,
did
they
that.
They produced that in advance, but he's called a thug in that
right.
commercial, which is amazing timing for them.
And he talked about it yesterday. And yeah. What he said was very true and poignant.
Eloquent.
I thought so, too. I mean, the mistake he made was just disrespecting his opponent. That's all. Yeah. In my mind.
It is. I know it goes back to that thing where we expect them to come, everyone to have that faux humble thing. And
yes.
They're like, well, it's just a great game, it was a great team, and blah, blah, blah. And you know inside, they're running them. They're like, we're the greatest.
Yeah, I know, right? They want to pound the chest.
We're doing. And that's why people like, you know, boxers and MMA fighters can say all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You're like, no, I am the greatest, and I'm gonna kick your ass. I mean, they say that, and it's no problem for mm-hmm. some reason.
But that seems like that would be ripe for spoofing.
Could you imagine
Sherman,
a boxer
Aaron
coming out and go like, oh, he's gonna kick my ass if I don't have a good fight?
That's true. That's right. Exactly.
Obviously
that seems
in
ripe
the moment,
for spoofing. That would be right up the soup alley.
It would. But here's the problem is that I literally said to the soup audience as we taped the show yesterday, I go, did you guys watch the playoff games last weekend? No hands.
No way.
Everyone was just like, play off of what? What do you play off of? Are you like an improvised show?
No
like
kidding.
A who's line? They
So 56 million people watched it. None of them were in the soup audience yesterday.
Not yesterday.
So Rich was a big hit when he was on the show.
Yeah.
Then.
I must have been a huge hit. There must have been.
They thought you were Paul Giamatti. They thought you were Paul Giamatti.
Great actor, by the way. Amazing. So I have no problem
from
with
the Northwest.
I have no problem with that.
But it is interesting to see how the demographics skew when it comes to that stuff. When you go, I was like, you guys didn't. This, like one person's like, yeah, I like the Seahawks, and then, and I was like, do you know what they did this year? He's like, they finally signed Cano, and so they don't know. No, yeah, so
nice.
But you'd have to now that story is everywhere, so it's a little you know, it would be a little bit easier to do. But Justin Bieber, you know, that's much more in the
the oeuvre.
Or if Selena Gomez is doing something, or Duck Dynasty does something, then we're gold.
By the way, is one of the if you polled NFL players, that's the number one show of NFL players watching is Duck Dynasty. For real.
Do you see the numbers on that show?
It's absurd.
It blows away networks. I mean, by a mile.
Beat American Idol.
It beats everything. Same thing with Sons of Anarchy when it's on.
Right.
They get crazy numbers, and it's funny how, because no one in the network seems to be noticed. They're kind of like, that's just a thing that's happening. Don't worry about it.
And that's cable.
Because cable has obviously made a mark in the last 20 years.
What are we doing over here? We're doing nothing, cable. Right?
No, not at all.
I'm basic. I'm just a basic cable sports guy.
That's not true. You have to pay for the packages with the NFL.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
I'm a tiered cable sports guy. I'm a premium.
Attaboy.
So when I buy the Seahawks full season, that is not cheap.
Did you call me James Bond on Twitter? You tweeted out that I looked like James Bond.
Well, the
James
look
Bond
on your face
for,
was...
For the Marriott commercial
I called
or something
you
like that?
If Paul Giamatti was playing James Bond. Yeah, you're very suave in that commercial, and there's some great makeup that happened.
Yeah, there was no Aston Martin. There was no Aston Martin to jump into. There wasn't any of that stuff.
Do you have like a Marriott Black Card? You can walk in anywhere and just go like they're like, oh, Mr. Eisen,
it's
right this way.
I have a courtyard by Marriott.
Would you like
Black
a kitchen
card.
Or?
Or banana? We can provide the potassium for
How
you.
How much do they pay you for that?
Oh God.
I'm sorry. That's my favorite question.
Enough.
Oh, that's how you're doing so well. How much do you get paid?
Right.
We're not.
Well, I mean, we could definitely compare receipts, and I would probably take yours. I'll take your receipts
of what I bought.
Yes.
Because I just bought a sour apple spray to spray on the legs of my furniture, so my puppy will stop eating it. So I have a receipt for that.
Okay.
And then I have a receipt for some pills to give the dog, so it'll stop eating its. So
well, maybe that's why people weren't hopping to it outside to get your car is because of they're not keen on the sour apple smell.
That's true. I did
maybe
spray it on the tires.
Maybe we're going full circle here.
We got really off.
Okay. So what do you think is the final score of this game? What's your prediction?
75-2. For some reason, they get a safety.
They do get a safety.
Oh, I don't know how.
Russell Wilson goes down.
It's two extra points that we spot.
75-2.
You
like it? So you're serious? 75. You like your Seahawks? You're confident? You like it?
I really do. I really do like, because when I watch the Seahawks games, they are it might be because I'm too close to them, but they're crazy games. It seems that the Seahawks have had a lot of crazy games this year, and
they have.
I think that. And people are like, gosh, that game was crazy. And they're always crazy because they remind me, when I was playing football, you do these drills where they just throw the football out and you two guys just run at it.
Yeah, right.
And every play seems to be like that. And then Russell Wilson is, I think, is one of the most exciting quarterbacks in the league. And when a play gets broken, there's stuff happening, and I always think like, well, we got a chance here. Or in that first play of last week's game, the fumble, I was like, this is part of the narrative. This is just part of the narrative.
That's right.
It's all fine. And so I feel like if we I cannot believe I'm about to say this, but if we can play our game. No, if we play that game, sure. I think as crazy as I think there's just this crazy energy, kind of like this sounds too cliche, but you know, like when NC State won back in 1980, when was it?
Three.
It was just like every game was crazy. Every game seemed impossible sometimes. Every game, you know, it seems like we should win. We're tough. And the games that, you know, like we weren't supposed to win, we won. So I think that's what I hope. I mean, I wouldn't be going if I didn't think we could win.
There you go. Of course.
Well, because I'm going to be standing next to Roger Goodell just
with his warm
drinking
pants,
gallons of hot chocolate.
Trying to get the warmth from his pants. His magical pants.
Here's
his traveling pants.
When I freeze, when I get frostbite, I'm going to break off my finger, my index finger, because we will have won, and we'll be number one. I'll just break off that index finger and throw it on the field.
And I'll look for it.
You can have it. You can wear it as a necklace.
I'm touched.
See, it's
I'm
that.
Touched. Thank you for coming in and battling the traffic.
We're not done.
Yeah.
Rich is going to leave. We're going to just continue the conversation.
Yeah, I wish.
Oh, you're going to go talk to second graders.
I'm going to go talk
to them, man. Let's go f*** that shit.
That's what I'm going to go do. That's exactly what I'm going to say is when they ask, what do you do for a living? I try my best not to f*** it up.
Yeah, so no, just say like, well, I was in a movie called Sideways. That really put me on the map.
Right. My dad was commissioner of baseball.
Big fan of Pinot Noir.
Exactly. And hey, everybody, that's who I am. So
yeah. So
go.
Who wants to come at me now? And then just fight each kid. All right.
Go see The Soup on E-Channel. Community, say hello to
Community. Watch Community next Thursday.
Next Thursday night.
I'm going to burp. But good. Yeah, please, 8 o'clock.
Wonderful.
7 Central there you on go. NBC.
On NBC.
Home of the live Sound of Music. You know, they're doing Peter Pan, and maybe you want to do some stunt casting.
Well, I would love to do that. I'll get with Giamatti's reps. We'll see what we can do.
Okay.
We'll do that.
You don't even talk to them. They just assume it's you. Just walk in.
Okay.
You know, it's me.
I own it. I just got to own it.
Just show up with the tights.
Thank you. Joel McHale back on the Rich Eisen podcast.
Let's get back on the phone now and drive.
Skype.
Okay, back.
Joel McHale, everybody.
Wow. Well, that ended up working out.
That is the first ever phoner in person we've ever done and probably will ever do. That's podcast history.
I think that worked out pretty good.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Well, you got a lot of – hopefully you got all the bleeps because that was good.
I heard I may have missed one while I was out there pulling him in, but I heard him say it directly, so I got it.
You didn't get the – you got the real time code.
I got right? The, yeah, exactly.
Not the time code, the real time code. Oh, my gosh almighty. And in the meantime, as soon as he walks out the door, we go on NFL.com, and there's a video up of him interviewing Richard Sherman.
Yeah, if you check it out on NFL.com right now, I guess he was up at the Seahawks facility earlier this season, and he does a stand-up interview with Sherman, and it's pretty funny. His kids are in the background. You can't see them.
Right.
Apparently they start making noise, and he cuts away a couple seconds in, tells his kids to shut the hell up, and they're just sitting there dancing. They're like 4-3.
But that's from the regular season, right?
Yeah,
that was
it's funny, though.
Okay.
You should check it out.
Very good.
I have one while we're on the Seahawks. I think the Derek Coleman story is incredible.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah.
What a good story. What a good kid he is.
And that Duracell commercial.
Oh,
is,
my gosh.
Unbelievable.
We're talking about the fullback, yet another player on the Seahawks roster that personifies their coach's mantra of always compete, and that if you can compete and you can do your job, you've got a spot on this team, no matter what your background or pedigree or lack of one is. And that's one of the reasons to root for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah,
I've got to be honest with you.
For those that don't know, I mean, he's the first NFL player that's legally deaf, and first offensive NFL player that's legally deaf.
And when Russell Wilson changes the play, he's got to go directly into his face mask so he reads his lips.
Yeah. It's incredible.
It is incredible.
Search out that Duracell commercial that Brockman mentioned because it's special.
Yeah, it's about how without the Duracell batteries, he can't hear with the device in his ear. And he's the one who caught the tipped ball touchdown on the Monday night against the Saints.
Right.
Incredible. Incredible. And I guess there was a letter that he responded to by hand, handwritten response to a deaf fan who wrote to him.
To a 6-year-old kid. Ugh. It was so cute.
Can't make this stuff up.
No.
All right, so we're off. When do you go to the Super Bowl, Law?
I'm flying out Friday night on a red eye. Actually, I get in Saturday.
And I leave. I'll be there next week. And media day again is when we will tape most of the special, including Jim Brockmeyer out
correct.
There. That's next Wednesday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, after the Jerry Rice Football Life.
The GOAT.
And post-show reaction program that will come from Times Square, I believe, with Jerry Rice. Correct?
Yes, they're doing it live there in Times
Fantastic.
Square.
Wonderful.
So definitely check that out.
All right.
Our show re-airs on Saturday as well, if for some reason you miss it.
Okay.
I want to say at 1 o'clock.
So let's check before we go on all the fantasy and all the housekeeping stuff, right? Where there's no contest between us, correct? In the fantasy?
Correct. No, for the fantasy challenge?
Yes.
I mean, I can't imagine that there that's, would be.
And that's over. Who is leading our group right now, Chris Law? I didn't mean to surprise you.
It's all good. I'm getting there right now. I'm on a different computer this week, so I have to sign in. Oh, which, as you know.
That's dicey. I'm signing in myself right now.
That's whack. Okay, the leader is... that's the picks one. Hold on. I thought I had it.
Rich, you were set up pretty well because you're getting
four times the
correct
points for everybody except I am. This one I'll choose now.
Okay.
I'm going to go Doug Baldwin. I'm going to see hopefully he...
Who'd you lose?
I lost Crabtree.
Crabtree.
Because, you know, he's M-E-D-I-O-C-R-E. so I've heard, right?
Reports.
Yeah, reports have it that he is mediocre.
Right.
So I am going to replace him with Doug Baldwin. I can't go with all Broncos.
No. So the field is wide open because the guy that's in first place, it's DSO82's picks, and he's in first place by a wide margin, has Colin Kaepernick as his quarterback, LeGarrette Blount.
He's 21 points ahead.
And Anquan Boldin, Phil Dawson, and the Niners D. So he's going to pretty much be out. Which means the field behind can definitely catch up.
I've
so,
got 322 points.
I have 366.
How are you in front of me?
Well, I had some big days.
Because of week one.
Yeah, I had some big days early.
But your escalators
right.
will catch you up.
I have only two players getting four times the points. Seattle defense and Marshawn Lynch.
How many points do you have?
I have 366.
How many do you have?
I have 472.
How is that
Whoa.
At all possible?
What rank are you?
I'm in 74th place.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Chris, how is that all possible, Chris Law?
Because I have Peyton Manning.
Right.
And this is last week as well.
Right.
Peyton Manning, Knowshon Moreno, Marshawn Lynch, Wes Welker, Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Matt Prater, and the Seattle Seahawks.
Wow.
Yeah, but guess what? I have all of those except instead of Welker, I had Crabtree. And I've had all of them as two-point bonuses.
Yeah,
and
I had
three-point bonuses last week. How do you have more points than me?
I have four-point bonuses for Super Bowl on Lynch, Thomas, Seattle D, Prater, and Julius Thomas. I have three times the bonus on Moreno and Peyton.
I have four times the bonus for the Super Bowl on Peyton, Lynch, Moreno, Demaryius, Julius
looks
Thomas,
like,
Matt Prater, and Seattle Seahawks. Four times the bonus on all of them.
Looks like the latex might prevail here.
But how is that possible?
That's incredible.
You know what? This is this right now.
Oh,
we have to check again.
the guy that forgot to pick.
Wait,
Rich,
are you saying that there is a NFL.com maybe second floor conspiracy?
Yes. Yes, there is.
Someone on our development team is
like going in and like.
Yes, there is.
Oh, wow.
I'm in 72nd place overall. That's pretty.
You know why? I'll tell you why. I had 176 points coming into the week, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This now tells me I have 322 points now. Let's do the math, okay? That's 150 points, correct?
Right.
Guess what? How many points Peyton Manning had for me last week?
How many?
72. Guess how many points Demaryius Thomas had for me last week?
I don't know.
57. Guess how many points Matt Prater had for me last week? 48. That's already 150 points.
I think you're on the wrong week, Rich, because I'm showing you as 501 overall points.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's not refreshing.
Yeah, and Brockman's at 366.
Yeah, 366.
No wonder I'm up.
Yeah, you got to get your cash checked there. You might not be your cash is.
So you're in good shape.
You're in good shape. You're beating me. However, Doug Baldwin is only on a single escalator for you. So
that is correct.
If Wes Welker goes off in the Super Bowl, I have a chance.
I gotta check my cash. So what is my rank? What is my rank?
You overall are in 500 and.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm sorry. That's your score. Let me. Check your
rank. Yeah, you have 501.
You're ahead of me. That's all I know. I think you're probably in the top 50 of our group. 9,000. So
yeah, I've got 501 points. So who's in? Wow, man. So there's a chance I can win this thing. Is there a chance I can win?
That would be amazing if you won our group.
Yeah, our leaders are in the 577 range, Rich.
I don't think I can catch him.
So it's going to be tough for you.
All right, and then we're going to pick we'll get our picks next week, okay? And we'll make an audio podcast out of all we're putting together for the Super Bowl special. So I look forward to seeing you next week, Chris Law.
Yeah, and if the Broncos fans out there are wondering why we're a little light Broncos on this episode, check out the earlier week podcast if you missed it.
Yeah, we were heavy on the AFC Championship.
Yeah, exactly.
We're making up for it. Good chatting with you, boys.
Can I give an international shout-out this week?
Well,
I was
certainly
on an international podcast in Ireland, Rich.
You mean you were on in the United Kingdom?
Yes, yes, yes. No.
By the way, we've gotten lots of videos and, like, pictograms of what exactly constitutes the United Kingdom. Law was so far off, it was not even funny.
Didn't
teach geography at the Penn State.
I just need to correct you. It's very funny. It's actually very, very fun.
I had to make sure that peace was kept between us and Ireland, and I went on the Overtime Ireland podcast, so check that out. It was fun stuff.
Okay, so awesome. That's very good. Listen, guys, Brockman, we will miss you, but we will give you full updates. And Chris Law, I will see you next week.
Yeah, you're getting me into all the parties, right, Rich?
By parties, you mean what?
I mean, there's a Bud Light party, Dave Grohl's playing of the Foo Fighters, party.
Here's the problem. I don't know about any of them.
Oh, man. Come on.
I'm a father of three with an absurd television schedule, so I don't even know what you're talking about.
You guys have a blast. I will hold down the fort and stay warm.
All right. You take care. That is it for our final pre-Super Bowl edition or pre-Super Bowl week edition. Next week, Joe Buck. Hopefully we'll get Aikman with him and an undisclosed Bronco or Seahawk together for a podcast to get you set for Super Bowl 48. This is the end of this show. Thanks to @JoelMchale on the phone and in person. Good job, Law, going out there and getting them in and corralling them.
That was fun.
And @ChrisLaw, @ChrisBrockman, I'm @RichEisen for @TheEisen Podcast. Peace out.
Stay listening, friends.